My favorite song, Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Fanny Crosby's great song. That empty feeling that you have sometimes, what causes it? Hey, it's Christmas night. It's 7 o'clock or 8 or 9 o'clock on Christmas night. The Christmas tree is forgotten and has been stripped bare of its gifts. Its branches droop because of its melancholy spirit, and its needles fall as tears from its heartbroken eyes. And the tree stoops a bit because of the load it's carried, no, but because it's forgotten and realizes that its days are numbered, and soon it must go where all good Christmas trees go. And you sit there in the house, and there's not a one of you, not a single one of you, well, who hasn't felt this? That lonely, hollow, empty, insecure feeling. And the truth is, it's hard not to cry. Everything's over. All the money's been spent, and you already have an appointment with friendly Bob Adams. As you check your book to find out how much month is left at the end of the money. And you get that feeling, that lonely feeling. When I was a kid, just a lad of a boy, I guess I was 12, I picked up the sport page one day, and I read that there was going to be an essay contest for boys, little boys, and before the ERA movement. And that essay contest was going to have to do with the Cotton Bowl game in Dallas, Texas, on New Year's Day of that year. They said that the boy in America, under the age of, I think, 13, who would write the best essay concerning an imaginary interview with Lou DeFilippo, the captain and center of the Fordham University football team, who was playing Texas A&M, in the Cotton Bowl that New Year's Day, that little boy that wrote the best essay would be able to be the mascot of the Fordham team, sit on the sideline, lead the parade downtown street through the streets of Dallas, be on a nationwide hookup of 167 stations, and be interviewed by the late Bill Stern, the famous announcer, and meet Granton and Rice and all the players of the Texas A&M, the Fordham team, along with Mr. Crowley, who was one of the four horsemen who was coach of the Fordham team. I saw that thing, and I thought, wouldn't that be a nice thing to do all of that? I didn't have any paper on which to write an essay. I got the newspaper, and around the edges of the newspaper and the blank spot in the advertisements, I wrote an essay. Nobody knew I wrote it. My mother, my sister, neither knew I wrote the essay. I borrowed a postage stamp, stuck it in the mail, a newspaper page, and sent it to New York City. About 3 o'clock one morning, a long-distance call came from across the street, and they said, Jackie Boy Hiles, somebody is calling you. We didn't have a telephone. I went across the street and picked up the phone, and it was New York City calling. And they said, is this Jackie Boy Hiles? And I said, yes, it is. And they said, you have won the nationwide essay contest. And you'll be interviewing the captain of the Fordham team on radio. You'll be on 167 stations, be interviewed by Bill Stern. You'll sit on the bench during the game, be mascot of the Fordham team. And that started for me a whirlwind of activity. I was a poor little kid, didn't have a pair of shoes that were hand-me-down. And I went down to the Dallas Athletic Club. And they had they served some eggnog. And Grantland Rice, the most famous sports writer who ever lived, he's the one who said, it matters not whether you win or lose, but how you play the game. Grantland Rice was given to me as an escort. I was 12 years old. We walked through the line to get a bite to eat, and the first thing they had was some eggnog. Now, I didn't know eggnog was could be good. I thought all eggnog was spiked. And I said, "Mr. Rice, I can't drink eggnog." And he said, "Why, Jackie boy, why can't you drink eggnog?" I said, "Because I'm a Christian, and Christians don't drink stuff like that." And all the Fordham team and the Texas A&M team laughed at me, little Jackie boy, little bitty guy, weighed about 16 pounds. Lost 4 pounds since birth. But you know, Mr. You've heard of the Knox Gelatin Company. The Knox Gelatin Company sponsored the nationwide radio broadcast of the game. Mr. Knox sent us enough Jell-O to last for a year. And gave me a sweater. And on that sweater, it said to Jackie Boy Hiles from Jim Knox. I spent one night, an entire night, in the Dallas Athletic Club Hotel with Grantland Rice, shared the room with Grantland Rice, and led the parade. Still have a picture over my file. Led the parade downtown at the front of the fire truck. Big old cowboy hat they gave me is about four sizes too big. You couldn't see me. You could see the brim of the hat and then my collar. And Wore that little old sweater that Jim Knox gave me in an old heavy coat. It was cold as the blue blazes. Good night, it was cold down there. I guess it's down to 45 degrees. And so I then interviewed the captain on the nationwide radio and had meal after meal with the team. And then during the game, I sat on the bench. And I got to meet Mr. Crowley, of course, and sat on the bench. They lost the game. I begged them to send me in as a substitute, but they did not feel led to do so. The strange thing happened. When the game was over, they were through with me. They used me as a publicity gimmick because little old poor kid, they picked some little poor kid and made a mascot out of him. They'd used that as a publicity, but now the game is over. And nobody said goodbye. And nobody said thank you. And nobody said, this is the way you get home. And I had no money for car fare. They had sent a limousine out to get me, but they didn't think about me then. They had used me. That's where the world always is. They had used me, and now it's over. And so I went out and tried to find some money and couldn't, and knocked on the house of a lady and said, I need some money. Could I have some money for the streetcar? It took 6 cents in those days, and to go home. I'll never forget when I got home. I thought the whole world had ended. I leaned my head on Mother's shoulder, and I cried, and I cried, and I cried. Why? Because I had that feeling of insecurity that every person in this room can identify with. The baby cries, and then sucks his thumb. Why? Because he feels insecure. And then the pacifier. Thank God for pacifier. Hallelujah. You said make a kid's teeth buck. I'd rather have the kid's teeth bucked than dad's mind frayed, I guarantee you for sure. You can always straighten buck teeth, but you can't bring a fella back from Westville very easily. You can't put braces on your head. Now, why does the baby need a pacifier? Because of a lack of security. And then a teddy bear, without which he will not sleep. And then maybe a favorite blanket that's got to be in the bed all the time. And then, as he grows older, the light on throughout the night. And that does not stop when infancy stops, nor when childhood stops, nor when adolescence stops. It continues until a person meets Christ. And so continues man's search for security and assurance. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants you to have assurance. In Hebrews 6:11 it says, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. In Hebrews 10:21-22 it says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance. Colossians 2:2 speaks of the riches of full assurance. Now I want to give you tonight three S's, three words that start with an S, and use this little brief alliterative outline to teach you something about security. Now, I'm going to help you if you listen to me. I guarantee you I can help you. Now, I don't want you taking notes. I want you to hear me. The first S is salvation. Salvation. Nobody can be secure unless he's saved. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. The Bible says, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Now, I hasten on from that because most all of you are saved. But if you're not saved tonight, the first step to security is to get saved. You see, I do not know exactly where heaven is. I think it's in the north somewhere. I do not know exactly where it is. But I know that I'm going to spend eternity wherever Jesus is. I do not know exactly the shape of heaven. I think it's a cube. It may be a circle. It may be triangular. I don't know for sure the shape of heaven. And I'm not exactly sure the route we take once we die to get there. But of this I'm sure, that wherever Jesus is, I am going to spend eternity. Now, there are a lot of unknowns. And if I were God, I'd have put a lot more things in the Bible about heaven. I really would. I'm sure that there's some reason God will tell us one of these days why more is not said about heaven in the Bible. But ladies and gentlemen, you cannot have the foundation for security if you don't know you're going to heaven when you die. Now, if you want to have security, you can read all the books and all the bookstores and hear all the talk shows of all the psychologists and psychiatrists and take all the courses you want to in the institutions of higher learning on personality conflicts and so forth. But if you're not saved, you have no security. The second S, and I'll spend more time on this one, is this, and that is schedule. Oh my, this word schedule. I believe that schedule is the answer to 90% of all the problems of the Christian life. Schedule. Now we're coming to the season of laughter. We're coming to the season of family, festivity, feasting, fun, and suicides. More people will commit suicide in the next 2 weeks than in any other entire month of any year. Probably more people will commit suicide in the next 2 weeks than all the rest of the year put together. Now, why do these people commit suicide? One reason is they do not live by schedule. That Christmas night feeling. The ups and the downs. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to live a life of security, one of the most important things you'll ever do is live by schedule. You check any time you want to check. You find out where I am. Just name the time of the week. You'll find out where I am. 99% of the time, you'll find me doing exactly what I did last week at that time. And week before last at that time. And week before that at that time. These people that get up in the morning and say, what am I going to do today, are unhappy, insecure people. There is a certain security of a schedule that a schedule gives you that nothing else will give. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying get up at the same time every morning. I mean, that one thing. Look, you know what I'm talking about. You lay in bed sometime 2 or 3 hours past your getting up time, and you know how you feel. You're off kilter. You're off balance. Something's been tilted. It's different. And the reason is that you're not on schedule. Get up at the same time every morning. And by the way, learn to be an early riser. The best part of the day is the early part of the day. I met God in the morning when the day was at its best. And His presence came like glory with His sunrise on my breast. All day long His presence lingered. All day long He stayed with me. And we sailed in perfect calmness o'er a very troubled sea. Other ships were torn and battered. Other ships were sore distressed. But the winds that seemed to drive them brought to me a peace and rest. Then I thought of other mornings with a keen remorse of mine, when I too had left the blessing of His presence far behind. So I think I've learned the secret, learned from many a troubled way. If you meet God in the morning, you can have Him all the day. Now get up! Get up! Get up! and learn. But Brother Hus, I'm one of those that needs to sleep late. I am too, but get up. But you say, I'm one of those that needs my 8 hours. I hate that with a purple passion. You know different than anybody else. Everybody needs their 8 hours. I need 15. One time Dr. John Rice said to his brother, Dr. Bill Rice, said, Dr. Bill, don't eat so much. There's something in life besides eating. Dr. Bill said, yes, John, they're sleeping too. But the truth is, listen, go ahead. Sleep till 9 one morning, 8 one morning, get up 7 one morning, 6 the next morning, 10 the next morning, 9. Go ahead. But you're not going to feel secure. You're not. Set you a time every morning early and get up. When you feel like it, get up. When you don't feel like it, get up. When you want to sleep longer, get up. When you can't sleep, when you can't get up, get up. When you're worn out, get up. Some of you young college students are gonna go to the devil one of these days. I read on your report sometime. Demerits, overslept. Get up! You lazy rascal, get up. Good night. You know different than anybody else. But you say, well, I just have one of those physical makeups. I'd kick you in the pants. I'd change your physical makeup. You're no different than anybody else. None at all. Somebody said one time, I wish I were like Jack Hiles, bounced out of bed. I don't bounce out of bed. I get resurrected every morning. My left foot says to my right, move! My right says, I moved first yesterday. It's your time to move. Then also, meet God, same time, same place, every day. Now I know, you can pray at the kitchen sink. You can pray at the bench at work. You can pray at your office desk, and you ought to. All of life should be permeated with prayer and fellowship with God. But there ought to be a time every day in your life where at the same place, at the same time, you meet God. Now I'm not talking tonight about spirituality. I'm not talking now about getting your prayers answered. I'm talking about security. I'm talking about eliminating that empty feeling. Oh, I just blew. I've just been blue all day. You don't have to be blue. There's a way that you can live where you don't have to have that melancholy feeling. There's a way you can live where that empty, blue, depressed feeling can be gone. And one of the most important things is live by schedule. Get up on time and meet God at the same place and same time every day. Then I want to say this also. Set a time every day when you're alone. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Quietness. Every day, get alone. Learn to be alone. Early in the morning, be by yourself. Before or after you spend some time with God, be by yourself for a while. Learn to enjoy being alone. Late at night, when others are asleep, be alone. Take a walk in the woods. Walk around the block. Get in the car and drive around. Be alone. Get to know yourself. It'll help your security. And do it the same time, every day. Now, I go on. I believe you ought to bathe at the same time, every month. And I want to tell you something. There's some folks that work for us that I won't have to talk to if you don't start bathing. And I don't want to do it. But there's some folks that are employed with the First Baptist Church Hammond. I don't want to do it. So I want to tell you something. If you stink, you're not right with God. I said if you stink. I mean, if you got B.O., then you need to get right with God. Cleanliness is next to godliness. And I'm a little concerned about the person not interested in keeping the outside of his body clean. I wonder how the inside is. If you don't keep your body clean, I wonder about your mind. Now, you get up 15 minutes early and you bathe every day. Every day. And then you get you some band or right guard or arid. Thought of another one. Use it. But you bathe the same time. Every day. I do not believe there's a day of the week when my bath time varies 5 minutes. Brush your teeth at the same time every week. Have a time when you brush your teeth. Now, there are several times a day I brush my teeth, and they're almost always the same times of the day. Get a haircut regularly. Don't just say, I'm going to get a haircut sometime. Set you a time and say, this is the day. I'd say at least every 3 weeks, and in some cases every 2 weeks. Set the time. Don't just say, one of these days when I got time. Don't ever say that about anything. One of these days when I got time. If there's something you do regularly, set it in your schedule. It'll make you feel secure. Clean your house on schedule. Eat on schedule. You folks that are 5 by 5, the scale doesn't give you your weight. When you step on it, it frowns. There's a reason. You don't eat by schedule. You eat the same time every day. 8 to noon in the morning, and 1 to 5 in the afternoon, and 7 to 11 at night. But there's a reason. Look. Listen, you know why you eat too much? Insecurity. Insecurity. I can get a little nervous. And anything that can't run away, I eat it. And you know how it is. Same thing. You get problems and burdens. But look, folks, there's security. This is a strange sermon, but it is so vital. You don't have to go through life all with this depression all the time. And with this melancholy spirit and always are often blue. You don't have to do it. I'll tell you one reason why that we're doing Christmas time. Because the truth is, your Christmas time is so unlike the rest of the year. These folks that have high peaks also have low valleys. And if you have holy days, that means by definition there's some unholy days. And if you reach high points, by definition there must be some low points. The honest, simple truth, if you would set yourself a schedule, listen, you ought to give every, and set yourself a time to give. You ought to give 52 weeks a year, not just on Christmas time. You ought to share all year long. And that wonderful, marvelous spirit of giving can be yours all the time. If you will live by schedule. A lot of you ought to either take or bring down your Christmas season or bring up the other 50 weeks a year. Read your Bible at the same time, every day. I think it's a good idea. Have the same time every day with your family. As you're rearing children, have a schedule. Same time to play. Same time to study. Regularly. Regular schedule. If you let me be just a trifle near the boundary line, for you young couples, I think you'd be very, very wise if you'd set a definite time. When you're together and love each other. You know how work is drudgery? Work is drudgery because it's not a part. We have no schedule. I'll tell you what, boy. If I take off and play a few hours, I've got to go to work in a hurry to get my mind off my nervousness. A little bit of this play goes a long ways for me. Because to me, that same old schedule, up the same time, work the same time, and do the same thing, stay on schedule, bathe the same time, eat the same time, pray the same time, meet God the same time, read the Bible the same time, and that very schedule itself is a tremendous pacifier and security blanket. I want to make a statement. 1 hour vacations once a week are more important than 1 week vacations once a year. Did you hear me? 1 hour vacations once a week are more important to your staying mentally and emotionally and physically well than 1 or 2 week vacations once a year. You know the empty feeling you feel when you get back off vacation. Dust has come in the house and the dog's messed up the whole place. Everything's different. The yard's grown up. 75 papers on the front porch. Mail blown all over everywhere. Your garbage is spread over the whole neighborhood. You're tired and you're broke and you gotta get up, go to work the next morning. You know how you feel! You don't have to feel that way. God wants you to be secure. Take a weekly drive in the woods. A long walk. Spend a weekly time or daily time reading the paper. Have many things to do and do them all on schedule. I want to say a word here. Folks don't crack up because they do too many things. That's so overrated, it's pitiful. So, Dr. Hiles, how do you keep from cracking up? I keep my hand on the college. I keep my hand on the high school, both of them. I keep my hand on the junior high school. I keep my hand on the grade school. I keep my hand on the cemetery. I keep my hand on the youth ministry. I keep my hand on the Sunday school. I keep my hand on the music department. I keep my hand on the radio broadcast. I keep my hand on house publications. I keep my hand on that camp. I keep my hand on the finances. I keep my hand on the WMS. I keep my hands on every single ministry we have. And he said, oh, you're going to crack up. No, you don't crack up because you got too much to do. You crack up because you dwell on one thing. You see, I learned one day that everything is play to somebody. The fellow downtown Chicago goes out in the country and has a garden, and that's his hobby. That's his play. But the guy that's down out in the country that has a truck farm as work, he goes down Chicago and does what the guy down the loop does. That's his vacation. Golf is diversion to some people. I quit playing golf because they wouldn't mow the yard where I played. They mowed the grass where everybody else played. Where I played, they wouldn't mow the grass, and I said that is not fair, so I quit the game. But to Jack Nicklaus, golf is work. Guy may go out and play football. But to Roger Staubach, that's work. A guy may play baseball. But to Dave Kingman, that's work. And I learned one day that everything a person does can be play. So I don't work all the time, I play all the time. I get up on Saturday morning. Call Russell Anderson, 7:45. Every Saturday morning, call Russell Anderson. 8 o'clock, Brother Dave comes in. We talk about the youth ministry for an hour. 9 o'clock, Mrs. Stevens comes in. We talk about the finances for an hour, for a half hour. 9:30, Dr. Evans comes in. We talk about the college. Then the principals come in. I mean, it's just like that. Now, about the time I get all up burdened about the youth ministry and my mind's about to crack, then the college finances. We talk about that a while, and that's diversion. About the time the finances become oppressive, Dr. Evans comes in. Then that's real oppressive. I like the fellow said, depression didn't bother me. I was a flop during the boom. Then about the time the load of the college comes, then the principals come in. And my mind is diverted. And God uses the college to get my mind off the finances. And God uses the high school to get my mind off the college. And God uses the finances of the college to get my mind off the youth ministry. And God uses the youth ministry to get my mind off Russell Anderson. You don't have to. Look, you will get 10 times as much done if you will set you a schedule. Look. I don't have to say, if something comes up about the college, I don't have to say, I've got to take care of that, and I don't have to do it. Now I've got to meet with Dr. Evans Saturday morning at 9:30. I make a little note of it, stick it in my drawer, 9:30 Saturday morning, get the stuff out of the drawer, put it and talk to Dr. Evans about it. But if I didn't have a regular time to do it, I'd crack up. But I have a schedule, a set time. Now I say this also. If you want to have security, sing a lot. I mean that. Sing a lot. You can sing yourself in the most any mood you want to. Sure you can. I love you truly. I've always thought I'd sound better with humming in the background. Truly, dear. Dum, dum, da, dum. Ha, ha. I don't care where I hear that. I reach for that and I cry. It puts me in the mood to cry. When I was in high school, we were called the Adamson High School Leopards. We didn't win a football game all the time I was in high school. But boy, we'd come to a pep rally. Oak Cliff section. On Oak Cliff High, on Oak Cliff High, plunge right through that line. Throw the ball around the end. We'll make touchdown sure this time. Rah, rah, rah! On Oak Cliff High, on Oak Cliff High, fight on for your fame. bow out, then you walk. We're ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. I bet. Let's go get them! We'll lick the Wildcats! We didn't win a game. Got beat 40-0, but next Friday, same thing, boy. On a cliff high, on a cliff high. You want to have security? Hey! If you feel a little insecure, why don't you sing? How firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you, He has said, you run to Jesus for refuge. Sing it! And you say, I don't feel very secure. Sing about it. You'll feel better. Sure you will. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on it. Sing it! The reason you feel insecure is all this junk you sing. No wonder you feel insecure. The guy gets that stupid guitar. Why, he's trembling while he's doing it. Hey, how about trying something like, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All the ground is seeking sand. I do not trust the sweet refrain, but holy, lean on Jesus' name. Sing it, and you'll be amazed how secure you'll feel. I want to say this, too, about security. Keep yourself interested in things. Hey, my mother was 92 years of age past Thursday. There are people who at 70 have lost interest. And one reason that little gal's lived to be 92, she's kept interested. Her mind is as sharp, I started to say, as mine, better than that. But you know what? She's kept interested. Look, I'm a Cub fan. Hey, the Cowboys won today and the Bears in the playoffs. But I'm a Cub fan. Now, Dave's a White Sox fan. I couldn't care less about the White Sox. They've never appealed to me. I don't know why. But I make myself follow the White Sox. I know who plays. I know who the pitchers are. Now, I don't get excited. Now, when Dave Kingman comes up, I love to watch him strike out with the bases loaded. You know. Because it just about once out of every 15, 20 times, he hits a ball to Canada. And I love it. Boy, I can get excited about the Cubs every year about July. I say, this is the year, you know. This is the year. Now, the White Sox. It's just another thing. But I know that Jim Lemon was their best hitter last year. Jim Lemon? Chet Lemon. And I know that they have a good left-handed pitcher named Trout, who's the son of Dizzy Trout. And I know that they fired Don Kester for manager. And I know who plays. And I keep up with it. I keep up with tennis. I know that Bjorn Borg is the best tennis player in the world. And Jimmy Connors is one of the top two or three. And that McEnroe is coming up, probably the second best right now. I've never seen McEnroe play. I've never seen Connors play. I've never seen Bjorg, that Swedish nut. I've never seen him play either. I know that Martina Navratilova is the best woman's player in the world, and I don't like it because I think Chris Everett ought to be. I know that Minnesota Fats, is a good pool player. And the only guy that can beat him is this guy named Marconi, an older man named Marconi. And I know this fellow, Kurt Thomas, is the best tumbler in the world. I read all that stuff. All of it. All of that. I read about politics. When I go to a town, first thing I do is buy a newspaper. I read everything in that paper. Cocker Spaniel, dog, lost, answers to the name of Jerusalem, and $10, I read it all. Now, the reason they answer the name of Jerusalem, it's a black cocker spaniel dog, and it has those long names. You know, George Washington, Jones, Abraham Lincoln, Jerusalem. Don't get mad at me. But I read the society page. I was in Normal, Illinois one day, little town near Normal named Oblong. picked up the newspaper in the society page, and it said normal boy to marry oblong girl. No joke, it did. But I read it. I want to have interest. Listen, some of you folks learned Wednesday night what Iran's all about. You thought the Ayatollah Khomeini was a gossiper. You think Iran is a Olympic track meet. And Iraq's where you hang your coat when you come to church. And Persia's a cat factory. Now I'm trying to help you. You ought to know, keep interested. Listen, especially you folks up in years, it's not easy. It really isn't. I find myself not wanting to take a walk anymore. I want to take a lay down. I don't want to take a walk. I make myself take a walk. Make myself. I want to see my world. I want to see the sunrise in the morning sometime. And I'm going to sometime. I want to see a sunset. I want to see the stars at night. I want to see the Big Dipper and Milky Way and Little Dipper. I want to watch the flowers in the springtime and summertime. I want to get up in the morning and see the country. I want to see trees. I want to see a rainbow. I want to watch the refreshing drops of rain as they fall. This is God's world. God is made for me, and I'm not going to go through it disinterested. Keep interested. Now, third S. First S is salvation. Second S is schedule. Third S is satisfaction. Folks, I want to say this, and I want you to hear me, because this is the most important point. Change doesn't satisfy. Change does not satisfy. Change may be thrilling for a while, but change does not satisfy. So I want to say this. I think what you ought to do is get you a profession while you're a young man. Young people, listen to me. Get you a profession while you're a young man and stick with it. Stick with it. Keep the same job. Many preachers are better preachers than famous preachers that do great works, but they will not stay. Sure. It's exciting to leave somewhere because you get a going away party. And all those presents. Then you get a welcome party. And all those presents. But you give me the same old street, the same old house, the same old people, the same old church, the same old preacher, the same old friends, the same old stores, you say, how monotonous. Listen, we're not the ones that crack up. You folks are always looking for something new all the time. May I say this also? Be satisfied with the same people. Go through life with the same people. Don't require new faces. Through thick and thin, realize that new faces may be exciting, but the old faces offer security. I was thinking about that a while ago. I was thinking about this. I was looking around. And there sat Dick Barr beside me. Dick, how long have you been in this church? You said about since 1955. 24 years. Same church. Children grew up here. Every time he walks through those doors, whether he knows it or not, a new sense of security is there. I was watching the choir. Terry Duff. Terry, how old are you? How long you been here? 33 years old, been here 33 years. Fortunate man. Fortunate. This is his home church. Terry Duff never goes home at night and says, I wonder where I'm going to live next month. I wonder what church I'm going to join next year. It's all settled. I'm his, he's mine, we're his, he's ours. It's all settled. Now, folks, there's security there. Phillips up here. Phillips has been here, I do not know how many years. George Washington was running for a second term. How long you been here, Phillips? 45 years. Huh? 52 years ago. How long have you been a member here? 45 years? What did you do during those 7 years? Why didn't you join, man? Fussing about who they got. I understand. We ought to stay fussy, folks. But now, wait a minute. Did you hear that? 52 years. Now, wait a minute. He didn't say, I'm going to join this church so they get a preacher I don't like. He said, this is my church. When that preacher came along he didn't like, he stayed with me. Security. Ken Ball. Ken, how long have you been here? 15 years. I won Ken to Christ. 15 years. All settled. Ken belongs to us. Lanny Cantway. All his life, I guess, Lanny. Since you're how old? Since you were 10. All your life, Ray? All your life, Mabel? All their lives. This is it. Now, Ray sits up here sometimes, and I'm sure he says, that how could one fellow preach so good sometimes and lay such a big egg other times? And I say the same thing about his solos. But folks, I'm not on trial with Ray Bordway every Sunday. He doesn't come every Sunday and say, okay, I'll decide if I'm going to stay another week or not. It's all settled. I'm his. He's mine. We don't want anybody else. Jack Bilby. Looking at Randall Frizzell back here. Watching Larry Stromberg down here. Here's John Olson. Looked over here and saw Dale Wright during the early service. Been here. Well, I'm one of the first couples I married with Dale and Linda. Dale and Linda. There's Elmer Brummett, looking at this section of the choir, Walter Mitzica, Ed Wolber. Look, among the ladies, Joellen Lee, been here since she was a little teenage girl. Jeff Graves, joined the church the same Sunday I became pastor here. Irma McKinney, been here all her life, 63 years. Mrs. Mock here, all your life? All her life. Mrs. Franz, the Streeters, saw Miss Colbert back here. I got a wonderful Christmas gift this week from the staff. The staff of the church each had his or her own picture, color picture made. And then they had an entire staff picture in the front. And each person wrote me a note of a little love note and put it inside a Christmas tree, a likeness of a Christmas tree. And then down at the bottom they wrote one little thing that they'd learned, the most important thing that they'd learned philosophically under my ministry. And then they put a note down there, said, I came to work here a certain time. And to start off, Mrs. Plopper was the first one. I've been working 19 years. Mrs. Colston, your second, what, 18 years. Ms. Nischik, 17 years. Mrs. McKinney, what, 15 years. And John Colston, 15 years. And look, folks, there's security there. That's the way you get secure. You don't say, oh, I'm so tired of the same old faces. That in itself is insecurity. Same people. And may I say also, by the way, I want to say a word to you school teachers tonight. School teachers by nature are a little bit restless. That's one reason why we don't have contracts. I do not know another grade school or high school or college that doesn't have teachers sign contracts. I don't want you to sign a contract every year. You want a one-year contract, I don't want you to stay here. You ought not to be that way. You need to have a place too. I thank God for my first grade teacher, Mrs. Sharp. She stayed down the basement of that Lisbon High School in that one little building on the east side in the middle of that hallway in the basement. She stayed there for year after year after year. And we should teach the first grade and we'd grow up and then go back and visit her. She's still teaching the first grade. I love that. I love that. You principals, plan to spend your life here. Stay with us. I know. Sometimes I have a slump in preaching. But everybody has a slump. Dallas Cowboys lost 4 out of 5 games this year. The Bears had a slump at the first of the season. Willie Mays went 0 for 20, first 20 times up in the big leagues. Folks have slumps. Sure they do. There are times when I want to go home myself and get another preacher. But you ought not to say, I'm going to stay here until. You know, the church was given basically as a security blanket for God's people. A place where you could come and feel the security of having a little community that meets together once or twice or three times a week, and where we can shake hands and fellowship and feel secure. And there's somebody that cares for us and would help us. Now, I said to the folks that work for us, you haven't got any problem. We've got a staff member who was sick for a year and a half, never missed a salary, never missed one paycheck. I've got another staff member, not here anymore, was sick for 2 years, didn't work a day for 2 years because she was sick, never missed a check. We're a family, folks. And there's security. Let me ask you this. I think it's a good idea not to move from house to house too much. Now, it may not affect you adults as much, but you don't understand what it means to a child. A child likes to have the old home place. A child likes that. Now, you don't have to change houses all the time. Now, there are times when you have to, or should. I like something, and I'm about to close. I like something that a fellow told me this week. Jack Cornegius, pretty wealthy man, works for the Sword of the Lord. He quit his job just to come to the Sword and help Dr. Rice in his last days. He goes everywhere Dr. Rice goes and just sort of oversees him. And Jack Cornegius is a wealthy man. He told me something on the airplane the other day. He said, Dr. Hiles, I promised God years ago I'd never get hungry for what I couldn't have. You won't ever hear a more profound statement than that. Hey, I'll never get hungry. What I couldn't have. Now he said this. I've gone 2 days without eating, but never gone hungry. But I love that. I love that. I've gone 2 days without eating, but never gone hungry. Because I made a promise I wouldn't get hungry for what I couldn't have. Now say again. We're all on a little old ball. And we're going around so fast in space, International Police Department can't catch up with us to give us a ticket. We just, I'm not sure right now whether I'm on the bottom looking up or the top looking down. Think about it now. Think, we're just out here. Little boy said one time, said, Mama said, what does the world stand on? Well, a big man holds it up. Big man. That's right, big man. Mama, what's a man stand on? Well, a man stands on a, stands on a big rock. What's rock? A big long pole. Mama, what's pole stand on? Oh, son, the pole just reaches all the way to the bottom. By the way, there's not a scientist in any university in the world can beat that. He doesn't know a single bit more about it than that mama did. Now let's face it. We hunger for security. We hunger for assurance. And the things that I've given you tonight, schedule, satisfaction, sameness, up the same time, eat the same time, bathe the same time, brush your teeth the same time, come to church the same time, talk to God the same time, meet God in the same place, keep the same friends, sing the songs of God, and live according to a disciplined schedule. And then the satisfaction, it'll help you. Try it. You will like it. It won't be as much fun and exciting as meeting new friends, changing jobs, changing churches, and changing preachers, and changing houses, and changing cars. It won't be as exciting and thrilling and And you won't meet a bunch of people and say, "Boy, oh boy, I'm sure glad to meet you." I know preachers that can't preach well unless they have new faces. I know a gospel singer, one of the finest gospel singers ever lived. You give him some new faces and he'll charm the crowd immeasurably. You let him sing to the same crowd 6 months, and he can't even smile while he's singing. So what is it? Insecurity? A little security to call something new. Insecurity, change again, security. Insecurity, change again, security. Insecurity, change again, security. But I like it this way. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I love to look at the deacons walking down the aisle at the Lord's Supper time and relive the experiences we've enjoyed together through these years and pray God to keep us together till we go to heaven. I like to look at the choir, and I'm serious about this, as I did tonight, watch the choir and just go from person to person and love them and thank God for all we've shared through the years and pray God to keep us together till the horn sounds or till Jesus takes us home. That's security. Heavenly Father, I really tried to help tonight.